SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Late Night Manager Management Class. Take it with Ian Cameron. I'm just getting. I love your handball, Babana. You said, yeah, handball. That's what you'd play. Handball. That's good stuff. You know, what we didn't get to. There's a rumor about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson getting traded. Not a shock. Deshaun Watson talks are heating up between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans on a Deshaun Watson deal. And now there's reports the Carolina Panthers want in on this. Not a shock. We've heard this before. And as I stated, I don't expect the sky to fall on Deshaun Watson as far as any sort of prolonged suspension or anything like that. Like, I don't know. Like, nothing ever happened. You can get sued by a lot of people, but it's not like a criminal charge to get sued by people. It's a big difference. So keep your eye on that. That'll really shake things up, actually, in that division, though. Deshaun Watson, you drop him on any team, and he has an impact. He's better than Jalen Hurts is. So, Babano, I've already placed some NFL futures. You and I have talked futures. We'll get more football on Sunday, Babano. But what about tomorrow's preseason game? I'm going to be watching the CFL game with more interest, but I'll have them both up just because it's a regular season game. Yet, I am curious about Pittsburgh. I already put my bet in on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow night against the Cowboys. What's your opinion on the game, Babano?
Yeah, if I were to bet it, I'd be looking at that same side. They're 9-2 ATS, their last 11 preseason games over the last 4 years, 3 years. So it's pretty damn impressive that their point spread run in the preseason. But it's more than that. They've got a backup quarterback battle. That's significant. We've talked about that with Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph battling it out for that spot. Ben Roethlisberger won't play, but you'll see Rudolph, you'll see Haskins. And then it's pretty much going to be Josh Dobbs for the entire second half. And I don't mind that. Josh Dobbs has, you know, been in this team, been with this team, been in this system for a lot of years now. He knows it. Yep. You know, he can be fine against backup defenders in the second half in terms of making plays and moving the football. So I think that's good for the Steelers. Look, the Cowboys, in theory, have a decent situation in terms of a backup battle. Problem is, I don't like any of their backups, really. I mean, Garrett Gilbert is going to start in the game, and he's going to get a lot of time. In fact, I'm reading he might get the whole first half, and then you're going to get a combo of Ben DiNucci and Cooper Rush, you know, in the second half. No, thank you. Not interested in that duo. I think that's an edge for Dobbs and for the Steelers. And Mike McCarthy's preseason track record is not great. He's only two games above 500 straight up. At least with Tomlin, he's 31-23 straight up in the preseason in his career. So, and you got to look at the straight up record because it's basically a pick 'em here in this game. So I'm with you. I would only look to the Steelers.
And we got the debut of Najee Harris. And Mike Tomlin's talking about a Najee Harris going to get a lot of playing time in the preseason. Says he wants to get him out there. And you know, we talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line, totally rebuilt. So they're going to be taking it seriously. Like, guys are fighting for jobs. It's not like sort of casual. Everyone's going to be like, all right, we got it. You know what I mean? I like Pittsburgh's intensity coming into this. Great stuff tonight, Babano. We'll catch up with you on Sunday.
Thanks, Gabe.
Ian Cameron, follow him on Twitter, at Babano. Late Night Anger Management Class. It's level three, the Late Night Anger Management Class. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates joining us on SiriusXM Channel 204. Pete Annapolis will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll break down France and Slovenia coming up in the early morning hours. Olympic basketball. The United States struggled early and then absolutely throttled Australia and literally left the Aussies in tears when it was all said and done. The Olympic, the agony. It's like Jimmy Kay said. Remember the old days? Wide world of sports. The agony of defeat. And yeah, I tell you what, That's the beautiful thing about the Olympics, the passion. I was watching men's field hockey earlier, India and Germany playing for a bronze medal. You would have thought India just won the gold medal. Like, if you had the sound down and you didn't know, you'd be like, man, these guys must have just won the gold medal. Like, they were, like, seriously celebrating. And Germany, you would have thought they just lost the gold medal because the Germans were all on their knees. Half of them were crying. Like, they wouldn't get up. They were like college kids type thing, devastated. And so you got to love the passion of the Olympics. All right, so we're covering some basketball. We'll talk some NBA basketball. We'll talk some NBA basketball with Pete Yiannopoulos. But what'd you think, Matias, of the U.S. in the second half there? We all got burnt. We all should have known, man. When you, me, Cam, and Babana were all on Australia, we were doomed. We were doomed.
Why?
Hey, the under was the bet. I said on Game Time Decisions, we said, what's the play in this game? The under is the play in the game. And then, of course, you know, the degenerates in us, we want to get some action in on everything. But we hit it pretty good on the under. But USA, pretty damn impressive when they turn it up a notch.
Yeah, Gabe, I did well during the game. The only bad bet I had was obviously Australia covering the entire game. But I did hit Australia at the half. I also hit over points for USA. I got it at 90.5 in game. And they went over 94 points. So I did pretty well, except for the full game. But I was happy with my Australia first half hit. I did expect USA to not do well in the first half because they never do. They always turn it up in the second half. I was just hoping that Australia would do better.
Yeah. You know what the turning point was? The last 2 minutes of the first half. You know, Australia were up by 13 at one point, 13-15 at one point. And you know what it was, though? The U.S. started to hit a couple of threes. It's a dangerous way to play, but it's pretty clear the Americans have decided that they can't play in the paint, and they're just going to live and die with the outside shot.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Angle Magical Craft continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. There's a lot of stuff to get to, so let's cut the small talk. Let's bring in Pete Yiannopoulos, RDS television analyst, one of our basketball regulars, and of course, a former assistant with the UMass Minutemen. Pete Yiannopoulos steps up. And always a pleasure, Pete. How you doing tonight?
Doing great, Gabe. Doing great.
Well, listen, Pete, there's a ton of stuff I want to throw at you. Let's start off. Man, last time we spoke, it was a couple of nights before the draft, and it feels like that was like 2 months ago already. But let's get into NBA free agency, and let's start off in the Windy City with the Chicago Bulls. Wow. They bring in Lonzo Ball. They bring in Alex Caruso. And they pair him with Zach LaVine, and you think, all right, they already have Vucevic as well. And then they bring in DeMar DeRozan. I know you've always been a big fan of Coach Billy Donovan. So what's your take right now on what the Chicago Bulls did?
Well, I think that the Chicago Bulls understood that when they changed their senior leadership with Arturis Karnišević being the vice president of basketball operations, they analyzed after 1 year. They made a couple of draft picks, Kobe White from North Carolina. They have some young pieces there. But if they wanted to expedite the rebuild and try and win immediately, they had to get some trades. One, that they did last year, acquiring Vucevic from Orlando. And now two, dipping into the free agent market. And getting Lonzo Ball really brings depth, brings quality, brings a little flair to their point guard position. I think that having DeMar DeRozan signed for 3 years and $85 million brings stability, brings a professional score. He's a guy that's been through the grind, has brought the Raptors to great success in the regular season, wasn't able to translate that in the postseason, was able to go to San Antonio and continue that. But I think right now, when you look at that team, they're going to score because you have Zach LaVine as that centerpiece. Will be able to defend? That's another question. I highly question that. Vucevic, LaVine, and DeRozan are not ranked at the elite levels at their respective positions. And I think opposing teams are going to try and exploit that. But having said that, Billy Donovan is a coach that could understand and maximize the potential and the talent that he has in front of him. So I think that they're going to do that. They got some young pieces in Patrick Williams. We'll see how Caruso is going to bring that championship pedigree. He's going to be a spark plug off the bench. The Chicago Bulls improved themselves, Gabe. Are they a legitimate top three contender in the Eastern Conference? No, but they should slide in anywhere between 4 and 6. And if things work out, they could win a potential round or two. But I think if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, you are a lot happier than you were heading into last year compared to what you're heading in this season.
You know, you're exactly right. If you're a Bulls fan, you're feeling a hell of a lot better than you were even like a week and a half ago. If you're Kobe White, you're probably not as happy, and you're probably wondering where your place is in all of this. But they do have a nice collection of players. I mean, if you're going to roll out Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Nikolai Vucevic, and Patrick Williams, and you bring Markkanen off the bench, now I don't know what the future for Markkanen holds there. Were you surprised that they went this far? You know, Lonzo Ball was rumored, to go to Chicago for a while, and I don't think it's crazy, actually, that they did all of this as well, that the Bulls actually think that they could be in the mix for Zion. Nobody talks about the Bulls in that same way, right? Oh, L.A., New York, Miami, et cetera. But, hey, Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls and made a lot of money there. He seemed to do okay marketing himself out of the Windy City. It's a massively large city, and the Bulls are a proud franchise. I think they're almost setting that up, but it's funny because you saw Zion talking about how he wished Lonzo Ball was still there in New Orleans.
I would echo your sentiments, Gabe. There's no question that it doesn't look, if you're a betting man, that Zion's going to stay his whole career with the New Orleans Pelicans like Dirk Nowitzki did and Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant and probably Steph Curry. But they're going to try and get the most out of Zion while they still have him. But when you talk about big markets, we always talk about, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, Miami, the Knicks, despite their horrendous record on the court, they're still probably the highest value franchise in the NBA and one of the best in professional sports. But the Chicago Bulls are in a big market, and they're a proud franchise, as you mentioned. So they need to make a move. They could attract free agents. There's a proud basketball tradition there. Yes, it's been difficult if you're a young superstar to go there and try and emulate what number 23 did there, winning 6 championships. But I think that time has passed. And I think right now it's time to start winning games, getting into the playoffs, winning playoff rounds. And I think that that core that you mentioned and we mentioned has a chance to do some work if they have the cohesivity and if the chemistry is right there for them to be elite on the offensive end and just be average on the defensive end. I think they'll be able to win games. They can't be horrid on the defensive end because then it might be a little difficult for Billy Donovan and the franchise.
Pete Yiannopoulos kicking it with us, already as television analyst, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. And guys, like I said, I don't think it's crazy, Zion. Like Zion was like excited about the prospect of potentially playing in Chicago before he came in to the NBA. Don't forget, he's from North Carolina, right? So Zion's from North Carolina. So is Michael Jordan, right? Like, Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls. There's a lot of synergy there. And like I said, the Bulls are putting themselves on the map. There's almost a changing of the guard. The old guys are hooking up, and I think eventually there'll be a new generation of sort of new superstars that'll say, you know what, let's try to take these old guys out, actually. And speaking of the old guys, the Los Angeles Lakers. I seem to like what the Lakers have done more than some, even though I think they're a combined age about 560 years old right now. But they brought in a lot of good pieces that made sense. What's your take on the Lakers? Are you buying or selling what the Lakers did?
Well, you know, you got to think that LeBron James has still a couple of elite years left in him. The durability that this guy has had, I've never seen anything like him. To me, Kobe Bryant was the most durable player to play sports, and injury after injury, but he never missed games until the Achilles heel. And then, once he hit his 18th season, I think LeBron James is hitting that soon right now, 18 heading into 19. Man, this guy is just a freak of nature. So I think bringing Westbrook was a calculated risk. I think if you're looking at everything working well, potentially in consolidating his speed, his work ethic, his ability to get to the basket, his toughness, his leadership, playing point guard, alleviating some of that pressure off LeBron James. But I think LeBron James is going to have to want to give up the basketball. I think Rondo was able to get him to give him the ball somewhat in the bubble in the playoffs, and look what happened, right? They got better shots, and LeBron scored a little bit more easier closer to the basket, and they won a championship. It didn't really work with Dennis Schroeder. Let me tell you, Schroeder didn't want to give up the ball. LeBron didn't want this guy to bring up the ball. It was a colossal disaster, and Schroeder's out the door. So is Westbrook that guy? I'm not quite sure. Even though I'm a pro Westbrook guy, like you know, Gabe, I've been really positive about what Russ brings to the game. But I think the way his contract is set up, you know, he's making more money than anybody on the Lakers. So that's what he makes more than LeBron and AD, right? So you got to look at the pieces that they brought, right? Malik Monk, they brought Dwight Howard. You know, Carmelo comes in. They need shooters. They need spacers. And if they're able to get that and they could leverage that, I think that, you know what? The Clippers are not going to be as good. Kawhi's hurt. You know, you got Utah. You got Phoenix on the, you know, can they do it again? Dallas needs a piece or two to really compete. You know, the Lakers are there. And once you get it, you know, you can get out of your conference. Anything can happen. So do I think they're the favorites to win the championship? No. A seven-game series against Milwaukee. Give me Milwaukee. Give me a young Holiday, a young Middleton, and the Greek Freak, and I'm taking them. And Brooklyn's going to want to get, you know, get to the finals. So I think that the moves were necessary. It's Hollywood. They needed to bring that third guy. Pelinka believes he is the third guy. Now it's going to see how that translates into the regular season and if they can remain healthy in the postseason, if AD wants to really play while he's hurt and not injured. That's a big difference, Gabe. When you're injured, you're injured. When you're hurt, it hurts a little bit, right? You're sore, but you got to play. Anthony Davis, not quite sure he wants to play when he's hurt.
Pete Annapolis kicking it with us, and I think they think that Westbrook provides some depth at least if LeBron or AD are out. But, you know, you look at this Lakers lineup, and I think in a playoff series, they'd be a load to deal with, but they'd have to get there first and actually stay healthy. You know, it's very interesting, though, to see how some teams are approaching it. You know, you look at Brooklyn, you look at the Lakers, you can say, all right, they're going the veteran route, and they're just looking at right now. They're going year by year. You look at Miami, they're kind of veteran, but they still have some young pieces in there as well. More with Pete Annapolis on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenz. We're kicking it on SiriusXM Channel 204. Pete Annapolis, former assistant coach of UMass Minutemen and RDS television analyst, kicking it with us. So, Pete, I want to get your take. Like we were talking about the approach of some team. The Lakers are like, all right, let's take this one year at a time. And this year, we're sort of all in for a championship. I didn't think they were last year. They're all in once again. You look at the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls are saying, you know what, let's stockpile young talent, try to build something, and then bring more players into this. They know they're a couple of years away, but the Bulls are taking, you know, a different route right now. Brooklyn, sort of like the Lakers. All right, a bunch of old dudes that are buddies in a league. Let's play together. And I sort of look at the Miami Heat like this, but the Heat do have an impressive roster. I can't say the Heat don't have an impressive roster. But they're still counting a lot on Tyler Hero to score. They just paid Duncan Robinson a lot of money. And you know, as I know, that you love Kyle Lowry, and you know how much I love Kyle Lowry. But at the same point in time, you're on the hook for $90 million for this dude right now. I don't really think it puts them over the top. What's your opinion on – I wanted to get your Miami angle first, and then I wanted to get your take on what happens with Gordon Dragic, but – what's your take? How good are the Miami Heat right now? Now they get Oladipo back. He's always hurt. What's your take on the Heat?
I think the Heat are a better team than they were last year with Kyle Lowry. There's no question about it. I think Kyle is a warrior. He's everything that's great about being a competitor. You know, there's nobody that takes charges better than Kyle. Kyle can make three-point shots. Kyle can make mid-range shots. Kyle gets to the free throw line. Kyle makes his teammates better. Kyle holds everybody accountable, including players, including coaches, including staff, including the media. as we all know, when you're talking to Kyle, you better be on your toes and sharp. Don't come with a weak question because he's going to call you out. So that's what Kyle Lowry brings. We thought, and I thought, that Kyle Lowry, after this year, you know, the last 4 years, Gabe, he's made $30 million each year, right? He signed that three-year, you know, $99 million. So it was like $33-plus million. Then he got an extra extension for 1 year. Now he's at $30 million again. I mean, he's just incredible. And we thought that he was going to go around the $12, $15 million range if he would ever come back to Toronto. And the market would probably be around 18, maybe max out of 20. He gets 30. Life is good for Kyle. Kyle loves to golf. You know, he's going to play next to his friend Jimmy Butler. Yeah. I think that these two guys, you know, the way they're going to, you know, they fit the Pat Riley system, right? You play hard every single day in practice, and you compete for 48 minutes. Do they have enough offensive firepower to really overtake Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and the Philadelphia 76ers, and a young and emerging Atlanta Hawks, right? The East is stacked, and the Chicago Bulls just got better. I think that you mentioned Hero's going to be important. Can Duncan Robinson give you the consistent shooting and a little bit more when you're paying him 5 years for $90 million? Is Bam Adebayo really going to give you consistent scoring in the post? I think that they lost some depth, right? You know, Olynyk was a good piece for a number of years that they had there. Kendrick Nunn's leaving. You know, Oladipo's really hurt. They're better than they were. But Kyle Lowry last year, as much as we love him, right, he averaged 16, 17 points a game, but he didn't play a lot of games, Gabe. And the Raptors were winning more games when Kyle was out than when he was there. So it's not a slam dunk that the Miami Heat are going to make the NBA Finals or going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to have to elevate their game and really improve on the offensive end if they want to compete with Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, if they want to come out of the East or just try and win a couple of rounds in the Eastern Conference.
And one night I clearly want to spend more time talking about Kyle Lowry's legacy with Toronto. But as you just stated, because people tuning in might think that we're sort of discounting it, but if you're the Raptors as well, it's like you said, it's amicable, right? Like, you know, we all love Kyle Lowry. He fits in Florida. He won't have to pay tax. He's playing with Jimmy Butler. He's going to make a ton of money. And if you're the Raptors, quite frankly, you couldn't really, like, I, you know, you said something great about Kyle Lowry. And I remember Kyle Lowry talking about being a coach. Remember they were like, make Lowry the coach when everyone had COVID? And Lowry said, oh, I'd be a good coach. But he goes, he said, if I was a coach and I was a player, he goes, I would definitely yell at myself. And he goes, I would argue with myself, right? And I would you agree with his statement? Because I said this. I said, if Kyle Lowry was the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, he would not justify giving Kyle Lowry $90 million right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I would agree with your sentiment, your statement, right? That's a lot of money to pay. And I think, yes, right, Chris Paul had a great season in Phoenix and everything aligned with the young Booker and Ayton, and they were able to really win a lot of games in the regular season. They ended up playing, you know, teams that had some injuries in the playoffs, and they played who they had to play, and they won. Chris Paul was really good in games 1 and 2 of the NBA Finals, Gabe, but he wasn't really good in games 3, 4, and 5, and he was okay in game 6. They gave him $120 million. God bless him. God bless his family. But Chris Paul not only took care of his family, he took care of everybody who was over 35 years old. And a lot of point guards are like, man, I could still play at this level. Some of these older point guards, probably Gary Payton and Steve Nash would have come back and played.
But he also boxed the Phoenix Suns in as far as the roster is concerned too, right? So
exactly.
It's funny, like in the NBA, it's weird. Like you don't want to, like it seems crazy. It's not just players that leave all the time. Teams realize, all right, we got what we needed out of this dude, and now we don't want to be on the hook for this. Like I said, I love Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry peaked in the finals. That was the best night he ever played, Game 6, NBA Finals. And now the guy's played hard over the years. Man, time's flying by, so there's a ton of stuff I want to get to. So quickly on Goran Dragic, are they going to flip him? Are they going to keep him? I don't think it's crazy that they trade him for Kristaps Porzingis in Dallas. What do you think happens with Dragic and the Raptors?
Well, that's the discussions I've been had over the last, I would say, 36 hours. They're trying to flip him to Dallas so he can play with Luka Doncic. And who are the players that they want to get back? Is it Dwight Powell? Is it Kristaps Porzingis? I think that, you know, they might need another team here to facilitate a deal. I think if they don't get the player that they want, Masai and Bobby Webster have a plan, you know, the president and general manager of the Raptors. They don't want to be, you know, in between. They don't want to be an 8, a 9 seed, a 7 seed, a 10 seed. They either compete for a championship or they're going to rebuild or retool and reset to compete with one. If that takes 2 or 3 years, they'll do that. So I think that they'll keep Dragic because, one, he's still an elite point guard, that can give you about the same production that Kyle did. If he's healthy, he gives you something different. I mean, he's a guy that could get to the basket and distribute and facilitate for a lot of his teammates. He's a culture guy. And I think if you hold on to him into the regular season, there's going to be some teams that might think this is the guy that can, you know, take us to the next level and get us to a championship. So I think the Raptors right now, they'll try and trade him. That's what they're trying to do right now. But if they don't get the piece that they want, I think they're going to hold on to him until they really believe they can get that. But the Raptors have some sort of plan, Gabe, because, again, we have a lot. We don't have much time. But, I told you I wasn't shocked if they didn't take Jalen Suggs and Scottie Barnes was there. But I'm still shocked that they didn't take Jalen Suggs when you knew that Kyle Lowry was leaving. He's the guy, 6'4", that could do everything for you at the point guard combo position. But we could talk about that another time.
It goes to show, though, so quickly on that, and they basically figured, and I saw that Bobby Webster said, we like players that are going to be good 3 years from now. Suggs might have been more polished right now. Nothing against Suggs, but it's curious. That's why I don't think all the pieces, final pieces, are in place for the Raptors roster yet. And don't forget, Masai Ujiri tried to trade for Kristaps Porzingis. He tried to trade DeMar DeRozan to the Knicks years ago for Kristaps. Kristaps has come up a couple of times with the Raptors. We know that he's not happy in Dallas. We know Dallas isn't happy with him. We know that Luka wants to play with Goran Dragic. We know the Raptors don't have a big man, and also, released Aaron Baines earlier in the day. So, Pete, speaking of Aaron Baines, speaking of the Olympics, it's been ultra cool, super fun stuff. So I want to get your thoughts on Luka. How crazy is this, just to put it in perspective? Slovenia, bro. Slovenia. This guy has put Slovenia into the Final Four with the basketball elite, with NBA Hall of Famers, and he's 17-0 in international play. Unbelievable. We got about 2 minutes here, Pete. What's your take on this game? Slovenia are 3-point favorites over France, who, are pretty damn good and haven't lost any Olympics.
Well, here's the thing, right? I don't want to give up my age. I was very young, and I didn't really see that year. But what Luka Doncic is doing right now with Slovenia is what Larry Bird did with Indiana State in 1979.
Yeah, great call.
He took that team all the way by himself to the NCAA final against Magic Johnson and the Michigan State Spartans. That's the comparison. That's what Luka's doing with this small country of a few million people. He's taking them. They won the World Cup a few years ago, the Euro. Now they're in the semifinals of the Olympics. I mean, you can't ask anybody to name the 12-man roster. It's impossible to do it. Nobody knows that. But everybody knows Luka. And every opposing coach knows that the game plan is to stop Luka. But they can't get it done. He is simply phenomenal the way he could oversee and see above any type of defense. He could score at will. He could distribute. He could facilitate. He has that championship pedigree. He's not afraid of the Americans. And I'll tell you this. I would love for France and the USA, potentially, if Australia, we know that they could beat the Americans as well. A rematch would be great. But can you imagine the United States of America playing Slovenia and Luka giving them the business? That would be one of the most remarkable sports stories that we've ever seen in our lifetime. What he's doing right now, it's even bigger than what Greece did in 2004 when they won the Euro Soccer Championship. Luka is the man, and Giannis won a championship. But the potential of what this guy could do to the NBA, it's incredible. And what he's doing there with his little brothers from Slovenia to be in the semifinals in this World Olympic qualifying or World Olympic tournament is just phenomenal. I hope he gets to the final, and I'd love for him to shock the world and win the gold medal.
Pete Annapolis with us. Well, Pete, I think you just echo the sentiments of literally tens of millions of basketball fans around the world that are just enthralled with this guy. So if you're France, it kind of sucks. Like, you really could, like, play that, like, in the room. You're like, listen, guys, no one in the world is pulling for us besides people in France. And we're going up against Luka here, but they're a dangerous team, man. They're a dangerous team that's undefeated in the Olympics. Pete Annapolis, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Fun fact. Even if the last sport you played was tag in fourth grade, you can...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SiriusXM Channel 204.
Hey, look! There's a big crowd. Welcome us back, even though we lost.
Hey, I'll give you something to cry about, you loser. You can't catch a football? Let's see if you can catch a rock.
Oh, we got a Danny Green update. Danny Green, two-year, $20 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. Danny Green's one of those guys that nobody talks about, but winning teams want to get. I almost just thought he was going to be on the Lakers again, to be honest. But the Lakers can't afford to pay him $10 million a year, and that loser Ben Simmons is still on the Philadelphia 76ers, so who cares? Think about that, too. His country, Australia, just lost to the United States. Well, did you watch the game on TV? I bet you didn't even watch. He was probably out with some chick in a club or something like that. I saw it too. He had the audacity to release a video of him like shooting baskets. Like, he does that every year. I remember last year he released a video of him hitting a three. Oh, look, he's working on a shot. The guy sucks. He's terrible. Spencer Dinwiddie, three-year, $62 million deal with Washington. He got paid, man. He got paid. I like Spencer Dinwiddie a lot, but wow. Yeah, that's a serious chunk of change, 62 mil for Spencer Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie's one of the better follows out of any NBA player on Twitter. Very smart dude, funny guy, cool dude. He interacts with fans and stuff. I'm a big Spencer Dinwiddie fan. And honestly, if you're the Washington Wizards, you know, I'm a big Westbrook fan, but Dinwiddie will fit better almost with Beal. He'll stay out of his way. And the Wizards got a ton, man, for Westbrook. Right? The Washington Wizards are actually a deeper team now than they were last year. Rui Hachimura is developing nicely. He's a good young player. I mean, we're talking about a team that made the playoffs. Really came on strong down the stretch, this basketball team. The record was 34-38, but they had a horrible start. They just killed it down the stretch. But you look at their new roster right now. Spencer Dinwiddie and Bradley Beal. That's a fun backcourt. Kyle Kuzma, Rui Hachimura, Thomas Bryant, Caldwell Pope, David Bertans, Raul Neto. It's not bad. They drafted Corey Kispert out of Gonzaga. It's not a bad five right there. Dinwiddie, Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, Rui Hachimura, and Thomas Bryant. They've got Neto, Caldwell Pope, Bertans, and they drafted Corey Kispert to go along with Rui Hachimura. So they got a couple of Gonzaga Bulldogs now on the team. Like I said, it's not terrible. It's better than what they had. Last year was essentially Hachimura was hurt, and was essentially just Westbrook and Beal, and they were always hurt. So at least now they got a little depth right now. All right, so for those of you that tune in, you're like, man, these guys talk a lot of Olympics. And yeah, we do. And I'm proud of it. Most talk show hosts and most people, they don't do it because either they're not real sports fans or they're too lazy. They don't want to put the work in because it's not easy, right, to actually research diving, swimming, field hockey, and all this type of stuff. But I actually like it. I got no life, so I'm like, hey, you know what? Why not? I'll put time in. And we've actually had a successful Olympic game so far. And we got a lot of futures that are still alive. So the next couple of days, man, it gets real, real. And including, we got a real, real baseball game coming up. South Korea and the United States. Now this is for real. The winner plays Japan, right? Japan had like a double chance type of deal, right? So it was one of those deals. The USA lost. They got to do it again now. So they got to beat Korea to get into the final against Japan. I don't know. I think the USA are probably going to win a game. It's coming up here in a couple of. It's coming up. And the overnight hour starts, I think it will get you the official first pitch, but we'll go over the Olympic schedule here tonight. But I was going to say, for those of you that are like, man, the Olympics, don't worry, the Olympics are done, all right? The Olympics are done. We've got, a couple of minutes left tonight. We got tomorrow night show, and then on Friday, there might be a couple of events that are still left, like coming up overnight, right? But we're getting into the final stages right now of the Olympics, and then we're really going to just, we're going to jump onto the grid. It'll be football, 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 and more football. College football, CFL football, NFL football. We got NFL preseason football tomorrow night. As we've told you, we're on the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. you got to be careful. I do like preseason games, but I remember once years ago when we were on Sirius 98, Hardcore Sports Radio, and we had a dude, one of the biggest degenerates I've ever met. He was a buddy. Cam knew him as well. And this guy was hardcore, man. He was nuts, all right? So we broke down like a bunch of preseason games, okay? And we broke down a bunch of preseason games, and there was like, it was like a monsoon, man. All right? It was like a typhoon monsoon, man, in a New England Patriot game. And before the game started, Don Crickey was preseason. Don Crickey does the play-by-play. He was like, he goes, I've been doing football for 30 years, 35 years. He goes, I've never seen weather. He goes, I'm actually surprised they're going to play the game. Right? And like, it was coming out sideways, man. And we're like, oh, we got to bet the under in this game. We're like, look at this, a preseason game. Look at the weather. I'm like, they're not going to want to risk Tom Brady. They don't want to get Tom Brady killed out there in this type of weather. And lo and behold, Tom Brady threw a pick six on like the first play of the game, all right? Tom Brady started in the rain, which we were surprised about. It was like the second preseason game or first preseason game. So we were like, what the hell? So they put Brady in, and Brady threw like a pick six, like on the first pass of the season type thing. like Brady drops back, throws it, interception, Jaguars return it for a touchdown. What do you think happened after that? Brady was pissed, right? And then Brady told Belichick, leave me in the game. And then, of course, Brady went up and down the field. He scored a touchdown right after. He scored again. Game went over the number. And we're like, wow, all right, that was a bad one. Like, I remember I lost like $700. Cam lost like $500, right? Like, we were all in the office there. We all put like pretty big money on it. And we look over, and there's one dude. He was an intern. And Cam used to work with him at another network, and we see, man, he's like really freaked out. He goes, oh, man, I can't believe it and stuff. And we're like, how much did you put on a game anyways? Because he was really like distraught. And he's like, $36,000. And we're like, what the hell's wrong with you? We're like, who the hell puts $36,000 on the first preseason game of the year? Right? Yeah, there's advantages to the preseason, but it doesn't mean you put $36,000 down. Right. And then, like, so, but the guy, like, instead of, like, you know, like, life-altering mistake, he's all like, so what are we going to do with the late games? And we're like, oh, boy. Like, and I never forget. I was like, how much are you putting? Man, the guy was putting, like, 22 dimes, you know, 22 dimes, 30 dimes on preseason games. It was like, I never seen anyone. I know people that have bet big before. The biggest bet I know that somebody bet, like I've met people that have bet big money, but like I know somebody, I had a buddy of mine, he bet $125,000 on an NBA game once. An NBA playoff game, the Suns and the Lakers with Steve Nash. And he won, the Suns covered. I think the Lakers won, but the Suns covered. It was in Los Angeles. I think he took the Suns plus the points. He actually went to the game, too. Like, he flew to Los Angeles. He put 125. He told me. I said, how much are the tickets? And he goes, it's like $3,000, right? He goes, not quite courtside, but he goes, like, you know, pretty close to courtside, like $3,000. And but I remember it because he told me, he goes, you know, but he goes, when you put $125K on a game, he goes, $3K ain't much for the ticket, is it? I was like, that's a good point. Very, 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 very good point. All right, so we got basketball coming up. I know everybody in our chat was discussing the greatness of Luka. We were talking with our guest, Pete Ioannopoulos. Who do you got, Matthias? It's hard to bet against this kid, man. He's 17 and freaking 0, man. He's 17-0 in international play. He's won a Euro championship before as a kid. Not as a kid, but he played like, you know what I mean? He was basically, before he came to the NBA, he won a championship in Europe. So he's won championships. He's won like junior championships. He won the Euro League championship as the point guard. The kid's a badass. He's 17-0 with Slovenia in international play. Except France are real good. Who you got, Matthias?
Got Slovenia, Gabe. I just don't think there's going to be anybody that's going to be be able to slow down Doncic, but also who could stay in front of him? You know, they're going to get in foul trouble. He's an animal, Gabe. They don't have somebody that could stop him, so I don't think that they'll be able to stop Slovenia, really. France will put up a good fight, though, Gabe, but it's Doncic, man. It's Doncic world out there.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree. And I know it's me against the world, and this is the good thing, and we knew this was going to happen. The point spread's only going to go up as this game approaches. Man, I don't know why we got to wait so long. Why can't they just start this game now? Clear the damn court off and do the game. It's at 7 in the morning Eastern time, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock Pacific time. France are now getting 3.5. The money's coming in. Listen, who the hell's betting on France right now? Right? France are boring. Evan Fournier's a boring dude. Rudy Gobert's a boring dude. Nobody knows who the hell Nicolas Batum is. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Clipper Nation, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's like, oh, I'm not betting against Luka. I thought, I'm going to roll the dice with France. France getting the +3.5. I'm going to hope for the best. And I'm telling you what, this is where I get crazy as well. I'm going under 28.5 points with Luka Doncic. Player point prop. Over under 28.5. Luka Doncic has only gone over the 28.5 once in the Olympics. In the first game. In the first game against Argentina, he scored 48 points. In the next game against Japan, he scored 25 points. Then the game against Spain, he scored 12 points. Now in the knockout stage game, so you can't say it wasn't real, in the elimination game against Germany, he scored 20 points. Now you could argue, look, in the Spanish game was close, and he played 34 minutes out of the 40. And it was a close game. It was 95-87. He scored 12 points. Germany, you can argue, wow, they were blowing him out. He didn't really have to score more. He's averaging 26.3 points per game in the tournament. All right, he's played, they played four games. He scored 48 points, 25 points, 12 points, and 20 points. And the prop tonight is 28.5. I'm going under the number. And, you know, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it like, oh, he's going to go off and he's going to try to carry them, but he's got to get other people involved, right? Because that's almost the strategy that some people are thinking, that, you know what, let him go off. Let him go off, and if he's scoring, no one else scores. That's almost the Jordan rules, right? It almost got to the point where they were like, listen, you're not going to stop Michael Jordan, right? You're not going to stop him. So, if he scores 60, good. Because, you know what? That means no one else is scoring. These props are always, you know, pretty sharp, right? And, you know, go light with them. We bet bigger on the games, obviously. We'll bet big on NFL props. But Goran Dragic, his brother, Zoran Dragic, is interesting. His prop is 12.5. He scored 27 in the last game, and he scored 24 against Japan. But he only scored 7 against Argentina, and he only scored 7 against Spain. It's all or nothing with Zoran. Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I am Renzi. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on here in the overnight hour. All right, so baseball. USA versus South Korea. Winner gets Japan in the gold medal game. We've got we got a nickel on Japan to win a gold medal. $500 at +160. And we're close. We could hedge, but we won't. We could hedge. I tell you what, we got Spain at +200 to win a gold medal, but Brazil are actually favorites in that game. We got Netherlands and women's field hockey into the final. We got a lot of nice, we're sitting pretty with some futures. But overnight tonight, Let's go with the under. Under. South Korea and the USA baseball. Right? Winner gets Japan in a gold medal game. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. 7.5. Most of these games have been low scoring in baseball. It's 7.5. We're going to go with the under. Now, I feel crazy doing this. And listen, nobody's getting rich betting against Luka Doncic in the Olympics. But nobody ever said I was a smart man. Coming into this, I like France a lot. All right? I thought France were undervalued and underestimated. And they continue to be. France haven't lost in the Olympics. France beat the United States in the Olympics. Not in an exhibition, in a real Olympic game. Right? France are undefeated. I don't think France are getting enough respect for an undefeated basketball team. And if there's a team I think that does match up with Doncic, I think it is Rudy Gobert. I think it is Nicolas Batum. I think it is Evan Fournier. And I think it is the French, who have a great defense as well and have a great team chemistry. It's going to be a great basketball game. All right. Like I said, I don't like betting against Luka, and I say that I'm going under 28.5 for this prop as well. As I stated, man, he scored more than he's gone over 25 once. All right? He scored 48 points and he scored 25 points. So, you know, he's gonna score 29 tonight. It's gonna be a hell of a game. Take the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow over the Dallas Cowboys. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
To win, you need a plan. We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you the winning edge. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.